Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church, and happy Easter. Great to see all of you gathered here in our parking lot, and how awesome it is to celebrate on a beautiful day, really, just to be out here. Earlier in the week, we were wondering if we were going to have rainy weather, and we got clouds, but we've got a wonderful day planned here at Peace. I am. Yeah. Can you hear me? Yep, we're getting thumbs up. We're good. Dear friends, throughout our service here this morning, we're going to share this phrase. Let's practice it right now. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's try it again. I heard the Worth car. The Worths get extra credit. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. We've got a lot of excitement in our really service today. The excitement comes from just having some familiar songs that we sing on Easter. We've got Dan Johnson with us, leading us in song. Colleen's playing behind us with Suzanne. We're going to hear from the Stanleys, too, their family, during communion distribution. So lots of excitement in our service. And, of course, we're going to have a time of Easter egg hunt at the conclusion of the service. Just a couple notes about that before we begin. If you are participating in the Easter egg hunt, your children are participating, what we're going to do is we're going to usher cars out at the end. You'll come forward as the ushers lead you. You'll take communion. If you are staying for the Easter egg hunt, everyone will exit out where I'm pointing to, this exit of the parking lot. And those who are participating in the Easter egg hunt, we're going to ask that you circle back around and enter on the west entrance of the parking lot. Look for the ushers. They will point you to a spot somewhere in the back of the parking lot, and we'll just wait there until everyone's received communion. Then we'll have time for you to come forward to the back of the church for the Easter egg hunt. If that was really confusing, just take away this thought. Just let the ushers guide you. They know what they're doing. So thank you to our ushers here today. Our ushers are in the green vests. They stick out. They look great. Love their fashion statements today. What Easter is about is that it's not just a one-day event. My prayer, as I prayed for this service this morning, is that what we hear today and what we grasp today with the truth of Jesus' resurrection stays with us for 365 days of the year, that we live with conviction, that we live with belief that Jesus lives, and that he'll come back and he'll restore things and clean up all the messes that are in this world. And so pray that stays with you today. Special blessings to our families that are gathered here. Hope that it's a special day for you. Some people are with their families for the very first time in a year. How awesome it is to be together this afternoon. The order of worship for our service is in the bulletin that was passed out. If you have not received a bulletin, just wave your hand outside your window, and an usher will come to you and share that bulletin with you. We covered. We're going to go ahead and, we've got a need for a bulletin over here. So one of our ushers is going to have to go over here and get the Worths before we begin. Actually, got a few hands up, so we'll get you covered. Just wave your hands if you didn't receive a bulletin. Awesome. All right, we're going to go ahead and open up with our first song, Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Triumphant holy day, alleluia. Who did once upon the cross, alleluia, suffer to redeem our loss, alleluia. Hymns of praise then let us sing, alleluia. Unto Christ our heavenly King, alleluia. Who endured upon the cross, alleluia. sinners to redeem and save. Alleluia! But the pains which he endured, alleluia, our salvation have procured. Alleluia! Now above the sky he's king. Alleluia! Where the angels ever sing. Alleluia! Sing we to our God above. Alleluia! Praise eternal as his love. Alleluia! Praise him, all you heavenly hosts. Alleluia! Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let's begin by asking the Lord to be here with us with these words of invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He died for our sins.
According to the Scriptures.
He was buried in the tomb.
According to the definite plan of God.
He rose from the dead.
And appeared to many.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
If Christ had not been raised from the dead, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. Let us now consider our sinfulness and God's great mercy in Christ. We take a few moments for silent reflection. And we do have a moment of confession. Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We confess our shameful thoughts about our leaders, enemies, and strangers. We confess our inappropriate words spoken to our families, friends, and colleagues. We confess our inappropriate actions towards our neighbors. For the sake of the risen Christ, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we follow in his footsteps both now and when he returns in glory. Amen.
If Christ had not been raised from the dead, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. But Christ rose from the grave, and death no longer has dominion over him. God did this in accordance with the Scriptures to forgive our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the risen Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to take a look at our gospel lesson. It comes from St. John, the 20th chapter. And this is going to be the basis of my words today that I have to share for you, words of encouragement today. This is from St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. In stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. Peter saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, by the way, is John. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. John saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Suzanne. Just great to hear those words, be inspired with that song. It sticks with you, and we pray that that song sticks with you for the weeks ahead. And also the Easter message. Let's begin with that phrase, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dear friends, do you have doubts? I have doubts. I'm going to admit that to you. You know, to be a Christian means that you have to actually believe in a whole bunch of amazing happenings and events. Think about this for a moment. To be a Christian means that you believe that God Almighty descended down to earth and became a human. Not just a human, but a baby. A baby that coos and that you can coddle and change their diapers. That's pretty crazy. Now, to be a Christian, it also means that there was a couple. You have to believe in Mary and Joseph. And that this couple that was betrothed together, that they would have a baby, yet the baby would come as Mary was a virgin. Further, to be a Christian means that that baby born to Joseph and Mary would live 30 years, let's say, in a dusty little town that really doesn't have any significance, Nazareth, and that he would take on the trade of being a carpenter, learning the trade of being a carpenter. God becoming a carpenter. That's pretty wild. But more than that, to be a Christian means that at age 30, this carpenter started speaking to demons, started commanding the wind and the waves, started forgiving sins by his own authority. No one had ever done that. And he started to tell dead people to rise and live. It's a high standard. There are a lot of things to believe in as a Christian. But to top it off, to be a Christian means you got to hold on to all the things we're celebrating today. That Jesus died on a Friday. He was placed into a tomb, and on the third day he rose again. But not just that. It means that you believe he's alive today, 2,000 years later. And that he's going to come back and clean up all the messes that we see. Do you have doubts? That's a lot to believe. That's a lot to believe. A lot of that can seem far-fetched. Now, I know as I look out here on Easter Sunday, I'm so thankful because I look out and I know that there are quite a few people that have a rock solid, steady faith that in challenges, those doubts never creep in. But I know that many of you, and I'm going to put myself in that category, I know that for many of you, there are those doubts. There are those questions. When those doubts come, they're questions that come into your life. Maybe one of those questions is what I listed already. The idea that God would actually become a little baby that you can just pick up and hold and cuddle. Maybe that's one of those doubts. Or maybe you're here, Easter 2021, right? And you have doubts because of what has happened this last year. Why did we have the blow up in the family? Why did my work go the way that it did? How could God ever put things back together with all the losses that I've experienced in my life? They've stacked up. How could God turn that around? Perhaps those are your questions or doubts today. We'd like to think that faith is something that is linear, that just goes from a little bit to all the way to a lot, that faith just always goes up. But you know what? Faith, if you really are honest about it, it's like two steps forward, one step back, or maybe some days, two steps backward, one step forward. Now, hear me when I say this. If you are someone who has a lot of doubts or you're a skeptic yourself, that does not mean that you are any less of a Christian. But now listen to what I'm about ready to say. My prayer for you, however, is that your faith journey is like John, the guy that just wrote our text, John chapter 20. He was an eyewitness. Now, if you want to pick up your bulletins and follow along on some of these details, go ahead or take the bulletin home and read it again. Verse 8 says, John saw and believed. Now, it doesn't say John. It says the other disciple, but I pointed that out to you as I was reading. That's John. That's who we're talking about. John saw and believed. Now, the word believe occurs 70 times in this gospel, and it means something deep. But do you know when John actually believed? It wasn't when he saw the wedding at Cana and Jesus changed water into wine. That didn't help him out. It didn't move him to belief. It wasn't when he saw Jesus feed 5,000 people. That word doesn't appear in that part of the gospel. It doesn't happen when John sees Jesus walking on the water. It doesn't say that John believed then. And it doesn't say that John believed in Jesus when he first started following Jesus, when he saw Jesus heal a blind man. You see, the moment that it clicked in for John was at the empty tomb. He saw and believed. Mary Magdalene was the first one to the tomb. But she believed the worst. I don't know if you caught it. Mary Magdalene went back to Peter and said, She said basically, boy, they took his body and we don't know where he is. She wasn't moved to belief right away. And Peter, he also went into the tomb. He was second. And it says that when Peter came out, he was bewildered. But do you notice what it says about John? John saw and believed. That's powerful. That word believe is not just a hunch or like, I kind of think I believe, I don't know. Belief here is conviction. That's what this word means. How did John move from all these doubts along the way and questions that he had to a point of conviction and belief here in this text? And how can we be people to live with that same kind of belief and conviction? My friends, I think it starts by putting our weight behind the evidence, putting our entire life behind what is shown to us in the Gospels. I had a friend that I hung out with quite a bit in high school, and we had an interesting experience when we were standing on the side of a river, and we were thinking about crossing it. The top of the river had iced over, and you couldn't tell if it was something to walk on or not. What moved us to belief in that moment, to know that we could go out onto that river and be safe on top of that ice? I can tell you what brought belief. It wasn't a calculator. We didn't pull a calculator out and say, boy, the ice is 2.5 inches thick and we weigh X amount and we're going to be safe. That doesn't cause belief. And what didn't help is mustering more belief inside of us to dig deeper, to believe harder. That didn't work either. Here's what helped. We saw someone else walk out onto the ice, and they put all their weight on the ice. And when we saw that, we had 100% belief and conviction that we could walk out on that ice and believe that we'd be okay. Why did John believe? John finally put all his weight. He put all of himself into the evidence that he saw there at the empty tomb. Here's the evidence. In verse 5, John went in and saw some linen cloths. These linen cloths were wrapped up and kind of sat on the side of that room, in the side of that tomb, very nicely, like you might do your laundry. We also know that Jesus was wrapped up, John's gospel tells us, Jesus was wrapped up with 100 pounds of spices with those linen cloths, all wrapped around the body. But when John went in, he just saw the shroud on one side and the linen cloths on another. And that's when those doubts and questions probably popped in. And John weighed the evidence. Now, grave robbers wouldn't have taken the body and nicely wrapped up the linen cloths on the side. They would have scurried out, away, taking the body. John then, I think, looked at the open tomb. Do you know how heavy the stone is in front of that empty tomb? 2,000 pounds. He put all the evidence together. He put all his weight upon that evidence. You see, John came to the understanding that Jesus had done it all. He took the strips, the linen cloths off. He opened the tomb. And at that moment, what an incredible moment for John. John knew that Jesus had done it all, that Jesus was alive. How powerful that was. And that meant for John that everything that Jesus said was true. That Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus would live again, and that he would come and figure out all the messes in life. My friends, today, do you have doubts? Again, you're not any lesser a Christian, but put your weight on the evidence. If Jesus would not have died, or if Jesus had not been raised, I should say, if Jesus was not raised, wouldn't we have been able to have found his body? I mean, think about that. Wouldn't it have been easy for Jesus' enemies to just go to the tomb? It was easy to find. It was right outside Jerusalem. Why didn't they just go to the tomb and say, well, here's the body? Nope. And then 50 days after Easter, think about this. Peter gives a sermon in Jerusalem. And at the end of the sermon, he says, we have all been witnesses. Now, just 50 days after Jesus' death, why didn't Jesus' enemies just say, hey, let's go to the tomb and see if his body's there? They didn't. And then we know that 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. 500. And no one refuted it. Why? Because the evidence was clear. Jesus rose from the dead. Put all your weight on that evidence and truth. And what a difference that makes for our lives. My friends, it's been a tough year. But as tough as it is, Jesus can overcome it all. My friends, there's been a lot of death. Jesus can overcome it all. There's been a lot of fear. Jesus today gives us a hope that we need for the future. There's been a lot of lost purpose. You see what today brings? You have purpose. It's there. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Let me repeat that. Faith is not the absence of doubt, but faith is this: not quitting. And continuing to ask the hard questions. And asking those hard questions, ultimately looking at the evidence. You know, all the evidence that John saw is here for you today. The linen cloths are at the side of the tomb. There is no body. Jesus rose, and he lives again. May we live with that hope. May we live with that conviction this day. Amen. We're now going to continue in our worship service today with a time of prayer. And in our prayers today, we're also just going to uplift a moment of silence. Usually at peace, we have lots of names that we uplift, but we're just going to have a moment of silence because every single person here has something heavy that has had something that's been even heavy this last week. And just think of a name during that moment of silence and place it upon God. We pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God of life, fill our hearts with resurrection joy.
Let the radiant beams of Easter's light shine into the depths of our souls.
Send the news of Christ's victory over death into all the world.
Grant that the many more nations may join the hosts of heaven in songs of triumph.
In the promise of Easter, take away from us the fear of death.
Renew us in the spirit of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life.
O Lord, now use us and all we are to bring glory to your name.
Use us through our daily lives, our resources, and our prayers to be a blessing in our families, in our communities, and in our world.
And, O Lord, we pray for all those who suffer affliction of body and soul or mind, those recovering from surgery, and those who may be close to death. Particularly this morning, we pray for Addie, Ellen, and Ron, and others we now name before you. O Lord,
heal people in need of your special care and use us to express your love to them.
O Lord, as we eat and drink together and share the very body and blood of our Lord,
we ask that we may be united with Christ and with each other, that we may share his glory, and that we may go our way and be his body in the world. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup. When he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the complete forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now let us go forth rejoicing in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
And this concludes our worship for the sacrament, heading into the sacrament. Just a note, as we conclude our worship service, Dan's going to sing a song, "He Lives." After that, we're going to continue with distribution of Holy Communion. Just wait for the ushers to guide you forward. Again, a note for those that are here for the Easter egg hunt. When you come forward, you'll take communion. You'll drop off your empty communion package, an offering if you like. And if you're participating in the Easter egg hunt, you'll exit out the east exit and then go out onto Applegate Street, go down to the west entrance, and enter back in. There will be an usher back there to show you a spot that you can park in. Once we are finished with distribution, we'll then call forward those people who are going to participate in the Easter egg hunt. Again, just pay attention to the ushers and they will guide you along.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal alleluias to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You